how do you feel about the homebound schools for teenage girls who become pregnant?
That is good. I feel like it is much better than staying in the regular schools. However, here, they do stay in school now. But I feel like it would be better to have homebound schools. My understanding now is they have homebound schools for someone who's out of school suspension, too. To me, homebound schooling should be for handicapped people, people that are ill and can't come back. I really feel like it's good for pregnant girls, too. And that's another thing that's changed. When I was in school, a girl had to leave school within 2 weeks if she became pregnant. And now they go to school until the end of the pregnancy. It's nothing unusual. But, you know, the outlook on that has become, it's not, the reason I feel that way, I feel like that it's not, I don't know how to express what I want to say. The younger girls coming along, I feel like it's not setting a very good example for them. They feel like, well, nothing really has changed, you know, when a girl becomes pregnant. So just let, you know, what's wrong with it? Why wait? And with all the unprotected sex and AIDS, HIV virus and things now, it's so very dangerous, and everything like that can set the wrong attitude for younger girls coming on. So homebound schooling would be good, in my opinion, for such.
How do you feel about parents teaching their children at home?
That may have its advantages, but I feel like the disadvantages outweigh the advantages. Most of the people I know that are using teaching their children at home is for religious purposes, because religion has been taken out of the schools. It's no longer allowed there. And when a child is taught at home, home training gives, the child does not learn to interact with other children, which I feel that composes a great part of a child's growing up. I have known a few homeschooled children. They are so shy, so they just absolutely cannot interact with other people. I feel that a child needs to get a taste of life in general, because he's going to face all these things when he grows up, and he needs to learn to deal with them then and now. For instance, when I was teaching at Sand Rock, a boy had been suspended so much there, they put him at Coosa Christian, hoping to build up his morals. Instead, it wasn't long until I heard they had tossed him out at Coosa Christian. He had been getting drugs at Sand Rock. He went to Coosa Christian. He also got drugs there. So if a child is determined to get drugs and what have you, he'll get them one place or another. Again, that falls back on the parents for training a child on how to deal with these situations. But I feel they do miss out on learning to get along with other children when they are homeschooled. And two, the wealthy children can afford that, whereas the poorer children can't. And it's there again, you have your, depending on what economic group you come from would determine whether you would be able to afford homeschooling or not.
Do you think when the parents are actually teaching the children that they have enough knowledge to give them an adequate education?
Personally, I don't. Some of them may, some of them don't. Most of them aren't qualified. Even though I understand the tests, you know, they have these tests they have to give them, but I do know parents that would cheat, go as far as to cheat with a child to be sure it gets through the test all right. That sort of thing is happening all the time. Just like I've always known parents that would do homework for children rather than to have to tolerate sitting down and helping them. They go ahead and do it for them.
How do you feel about the special education programs in schools?
I think it's great. The only thing that I don't like is when special ed children are put into the major flow for, I believe it's 2 classes a day they have with regular students. Before special ed came about, of course, when I first began teaching, we did not have a special ed program. Special ed children were lost. They were working as hard as they could. There was no way they could keep up with a normal child, and they were frustrated. Take those children along. The special ed teacher can devote time to bring out everything that can make the child, can teach the child to its potentiality. And also, the regular classroom teacher can spend her time with those children that will be learning from it. So as I feel that that's been one of the greatest things that has happened to change education during the time that I have been connected with education.
You feel that's especially helpful with the kids with attention deficit?
Yes, I do. However, the school where I taught, they had to be taught, it was not a large school, they had to be taught along with regular special ed children. But larger schools have a special teacher for the ADC children, and it is good.
So that was a problem, a major problem back then too? It just was never really brought out to people's attention?
I again have been told that that has happened more with the crack generation. More children have come up with that, being born to those people that now that were on crack a few years ago. I know when I was in school, we did not have so much ADC as, you know, things like that then.
Do you feel that maybe it's the lack of parental involvement, the kids coming home having only the TV and no other way of communicating with people, that they're so dependent on?
Yes, I do. They live with a TV screen from the time school's out till make mom and dad get in from work and make them do their homework. I always found the best rule was to get homework done before a child ever got involved with anything else. And there are so many programs that are not, these talk shows, for instance, very few of them I would ever want to see a child watching. And I have seen children looking at some of these talk shows that are being, even Phil Donahue left his show this year because he said he had created a monster. So TV, probably, I know it without a doubt, it has done its bit to help education, but the programming on it should be more selective.
So you're in favor of the chip being put in there that are of parents really paying more attention
right
to what their
children
want.
That's the problem. Mom and dad both work during the day and they come in at night and they're so tired they don't really pay attention to what the children are watching. And many times the children come into school and no one there. They watch what they want. So that is the problem with TV, not the TV itself.
Hopefully more educational programs will be provided for the children to watch.
Right. There are definitely some good educational programs there. And, you know, there are a lot of good, other good programs too. But I remember at San Rock, when I was teaching there, a lady was ready to go to court because she had showed a movie one day and the children had to bring back signed permission that they could see the movie, and I don't remember the name right now, but they only used 2 curse words in it. And you know yourself, most TV programs now, That was mild, very mild. In fact, I understand some of the Walt Disney, you know, cartoons have curse words on them. And they had already called Montgomery, and AEA was sending a lawyer up to her defense. And finally, the lady decided to drop it.
Another thing that's changed over the years is the dress code. How do you feel about the differences in the teachers and the students' dress codes over the years?
Well, there has been quite a contrast throughout the years. I began with teachers. When I first began teaching, a lady teacher did not wear anything but a dress or a suit. She could not wear pants at all. Gradually, I don't remember exactly the year, but gradually, pants suits came in. A teacher could wear pants suits as long as the top came down to the crotch. And then, before that, though, student dress codes became terrible during the miniskirt time. I can remember the counselor at our school would come out and measure. They were supposed to be no more than two or three inches above a knee, something like that. And the counselor, she saw one that looked unusually too short, she measured them. And I remember one young lady who would do just about anything. She would roll her skirt under, and the counselor called her in to measure it. She let her skirt down. So they couldn't carry her home. I know Mr. Pearson would usually carry girls home if they showed up with clothing too short, but this girl was too shrewd to be caught. And now, of course, girls are even allowed to wear shorts, providing they are a decent length. I don't know what the latest is on that, but you know, for years, students did not wear shorts to school, but they do now.
Ms. Hawkins, thank you very much for allowing me to interview you, and I've learned some very interesting things about the teaching profession.
I feel honored to have been interviewed by you, and I just hope the things that I have said will be of some benefit to you.